Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they'd just fall off. But I still wake up, I still see a ghost. Oh Lord, I'm still not sure what I stand for.
Welcome to Critical Drinking. I'm Kevin Regan.
I'm Tyler Kosupski.
And this is the podcast where we drink beer, we watch movies, and we talk about them. This is Critical Drinking 55. We are coming off our, let's say, well, we watched Hitchcock, but we you know, talked psychological thrillers. So we were in a genre top five last week, but we are entering what we are going to call our around the world, let's call it a phase, where we are going to be sampling movies from around the world.
It's going to be crazy.
And so this week, we are going to be doing top five favorite French films.
Yeah.
Which means not best, because there's no way in hell either of us would be able to rank the best, because we haven't seen the best.
I chose France first, yeah. Thinking I'd seen a ton of French movies.
Yeah.
I've seen five French movies, apparently.
Soon to be six.
Soon to be six, so this may make my top five.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so Tyler picked France, then goes, wait, the French Connection? It's not French? Ah, shit.
Wait, I can't pick Paris, Je T'aime? Fuck!
Yeah, little clarification, these are French films, not films about France, or films that take place in France.
American Werewolf in Paris?
Yeah. So these nothing with French in the title. It has to be, you know, not just a movie made by a French guy, like The Fifth Element. It has to be a French
made by
film.
French.
Yeah, Luc Besson.
Oh. Jean-Luc Picard?
No, but close.
Oh, cool.
Jean-Luc made other critically acclaimed films. No, but yeah, that is the caveat. But we will be watching a movie called Delicatessen.
Mm.
It is a movie, apparently it is a post-apocalyptic black comedy about people eating people in sandwiches.
That's implied, but the Netflix description for it was a clown living in an apartment building.
That's true.
And the description on, what was it, IMDb, yeah, was like posted. Was, yeah. So we got totally different descriptions for the movie.
Yeah, a clown lives in an apartment and eats sandwiches. This is going to be a super boring movie.
Falls in love with the deli owner's daughter.
And eats her sandwich.
This should be an awesome movie.
Yeah, we definitely got an odd smattering of synopses. But that's what we're watching. And so it may make Tyler's top five, it may not. We got a few comments regarding last episode. One, we got Maddie... Actually, Maddie C. commented on episode 54 thinking, well, he commented saying it was episode 54. Really, it was episode 53 about the rescue movies. But 54, that would be the last one, which was psychological thrillers. He didn't have much to say about that. But he did say about episode 53, in my opinion, Apocalypse Now is not a, quote, rescue movie per se, as the movie is about a military extraction and or assassination mission, among other war and death-related themes. Terminate the colonel's command is not the same as go rescue that rogue colonel because he's lost in the jungle and needs help. Willard is not on a rescue mission. He's on a CIA-approved hit mission. My two cents.
Yeah, good job picking that one, asshole.
Yeah, no, I defend my pick, but I also I see where he's coming from.
Remember that one? I don't remember what I picked, so I can't...
You didn't pick Apocalypse Now.
I didn't, so I'm glad. I know I didn't pick that.
So,
it didn't cross my mind.
Fair enough. But I would argue that take the colonel and his command completely out of it. It becomes somewhat of a rescue mission for a lot of other people. Because the entire movie is basically, wow, we're stuck over here in Vietnam, and it's weird, and crazy and everyone's freaking out. We need to get the fuck out of here.
Well, yeah, that's every Vietnam movie. I feel like that's...
I wouldn't say Platoon was that movie. But that's another discussion. It's another argument. He also says, also shout out from Kevin, or from Audrey to Kevin for the Finding Nemo pick. Because Audrey's his daughter, and Audrey loves Finding Nemo.
I love Finding Nemo.
We also threw up the first poll of this second act of CD. The poll question was related to our, you know, discussion and watch of The Lady Vanishes. Question was, how do you feel about old classic black and white movies? And you had four options. And they kind of ranged in scale of your like of black and white movies. It was, first one was, I love black and white movies, which was kind of intended to be the, doesn't matter what black and white movie, I just enjoy old movies. Number two was, I only like the great classics of black and white movies, which would be, you know, the great films that happen to be in black and white. Then there's, I don't like watching black and white movies, which was kind of designed to say, I don't have anything against black and white movies, I'm just not a big fan, I'd rather watch, you know, a more recent movie in color. And then the last one was, anything made before 1970 doesn't exist in my book, which is basically when the new Hollywood kind of rolled around and everything stopped being black and white. It was actually a pretty close race. We got a total of 19 votes. In last place, with one vote, was, I don't like watching black and white movies. So there was only one person that was kind of, you know, not a big fan, I'd rather watch something else. Just don't like them, nothing against them. That was Lenny. Thank you, Lenny, for that, for rounding out the voting. In third place was, anything made before 1970 doesn't exist in my book. And one of the points, this was one that, you know, Maddie C. had chimed in on. And he said, runner-up was anything before... Wait a minute. Lies. Lies. I just lied. I will pause that. You know, some of the people in this category of 1970 were Alan and Krohn. Thank you, guys. In second place, only one vote ahead of third place, was, I love black and white movies. Okay. And that was, you know, Tyler and I both voted for that. So that kind of skews our vote. And our votes are more important, so this obviously is a winning category. Mm-hmm. But Chris Parr, Jerron, Adam, appreciate that. I would have expected those three, though, to put that.
I don't know any of you. But I expected it of all of you.
That's right. And then the winner was, I only like the great classics, which I kind of expected to win. Because black and white movies aren't really for everybody, but a lot of people can appreciate great black and white movies. And that was the one that Maddie C. chimed in on, yeah, as well as Brett. But one of the comments Maddie C. had that's a, you know, valid point for him, for anyone that knows him, is runner-up for him was anything before 1970, as his film library starts at 1977. Anyone who knows Maddie C. knows what movie he's talking about when he refers to 1977. Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Some other comments were, can I sort of combine the first two? I'll stop you right there. The answer is no. You have to pick one. Appreciate it. And then the third comment was, I don't know how to answer that. I like movies from many genres. And to that I say, I felt like it was pretty straightforward.
Genre has nothing to do with this.
Yeah, I feel like it was pretty straightforward, that question. I think if you like many genres...
Genres fall into every single one of my... Any genre falls into any one of those categories. So yes.
Yeah, so correct, but also incorrect at the same time.
Yeah, don't even bring that up.
But the winner, I only like the great classics. By one vote. Next week we'll have a new poll up there. Not quite sure what it is. Maybe what foreign country do you think the best films come out of other than the United States? No. But we'll see, because we are, you know, going around the world.
Yeah.
We should have a theme song for that. Da-da-da-da! Or like a theme.
The Carmen Sandiego theme song.
There it is. Done. Yeah. Done.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
But we appreciate all your guys' input and interaction on the Facebook site with that poll. We'll have something up there for you soon after this episode posts. But without further ado, let's jump into the predictions for Delicatessen. How many drinks do you think you can drink Dollar.
Oh. I've had a couple already today, so how long is the movie?
Do we know? Check.
Hour and a half? Roughly?
Yeah, I feel like it's like 88 minutes. So just about that.
You know, I'm easing my way into this, and I'm trying to get the feel for how much I can drink during a, you know, certain time. I'm going to say 5.
99 minutes. There you go. It's like an hour 40.
I'll stay with 5.
5 sounds good. I will match.
Okay.
So 5's are across the board. We're going to go watch Delicatessen, and then we will get back and tell you what we thought. Bye. Welcome back to Critical Drinking. That was a trifecta of cracks. G got in on that one. We just watched Delicatessen, a nice French film from 1991. Let's just get into our review. Tyler, I will give you the floor since you are shaking your head as in, I have a lot to say.
I don't have a lot to say. I didn't like it. It was a weird movie. I thought they were cool. There was a theme in the movie, but I couldn't tie anything to it.
Yeah.
Annoying, repetitive noises.
That was, yeah.
I don't know why. I think that's
just a quirkiness of the direction.
Yeah. But there was really cool, elaborate contraptions in the movie that I liked. The chick trying to commit suicide multiple times always had some sort of contraption because she couldn't do it herself.
Those were the best scenes, I thought.
They were the funniest.
They were funny.
And there was one where there was an old lady knitting. I don't know if you noticed it, but they had a spool spinning, and it would catch the bottom of like whatever she was knitting. It was
unraveling so what she was knitting.
So she would be just knitting.
Perpetually knitting.
Yeah. Forever knitting. So just to keep her occupied as an old bag.
They did refer to her as an old bag.
So, I don't know. In the future, there's a bullshit detector.
And the guy dismissed it, but it worked.
It definitely worked.
He's like, this is shit. I'm like, wait a minute. It works.
Yeah. And I feel, I don't have much to say about the theme of the movie, but I know you and I pointed out right in the beginning, opening credits.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, they're very
cool. 1991, I don't know if they were redone.
My brother would like these.
They must have been redone.
He's a fan of entry credits.
I'm usually not.
But there you go.
These were good.
Like it was Bond. A nice little story through the...
Love Bond movies?
Yeah.
I fucking hate Bond movie opening credits.
Just the song with the...
Annoying.
Yeah, I know.
It's annoying
to me.
But these were cool.
Yeah.
Overall movie... Eh.
Yeah, that's a good rating. We'll give a number rating later, but overall feeling after that was just...
Yeah, usually with movies that are not in English, I'm always paying attention because I want to know what they're saying.
Yeah.
This lost my attention. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't fully engulfed in the movie where I always need to be knowing what everyone was saying. I could walk away and come back and still know what was happening.
Right. Yeah, it's very whimsical, just like all the rest of his movies. This is the same director that did Amelie.
I liked Amelie, though.
Amelie had a straight up plot.
Yeah.
Like straight, you know, all the way through held one line. Mm. This kind of clung loosely to a couple.
Yeah. This, you and I both said, like halfway through the movie, I want to get out of this apartment.
Yeah.
I wanted to see the outside world. Like everyone was talking about this, hey, if you go outside, you're going to be killed. You're not going to last more than 2 weeks. Right. Something like that. If you stay in this apartment, you're not going to last 2 weeks. So I wanted to see what they were talking about. Like,
what happens out there?
We saw a little glimpse of it with the garbage bag ninjas, but they didn't kill anybody. They seemed like nice dudes. They were doing the saving.
The garbage bag ninjas. Yes. That's true.
Yeah, so.
That's true. Yeah, no, I mean, basically the premise of the movie is that it is the post-apocalyptic time, and food is scarce, and this guy owns a delicatessen, which above it is a bunch of apartment buildings, and all these people basically live there and live off of his, let's say, meat that he gets, which is just other people. He kills people to you know, basically satisfy the hunger of the rest of the group. But it would have been awesome if that was the entire, that was the focus of the plot, but that was like a fringe plot line.
I thought it was going to turn, from the opening scene, we were like, oh, this is going to be dope. Like, it's going to be like a Sweeney Todd, this is funny, seriously. Murdering people. There was none of that. There was, besides the opening scene, one person died. Well, not, he murdered one person and cut off another person's leg. Yep. All in one swoop.
He died, too.
He died, yes.
Spoiler alert. Ever gonna watch this? No, it's actually, I mean, it's interesting. If you liked Amelie and you liked the stuff about Amelie that wasn't directly related to the plot, then I have a feeling you'll enjoy this. I mean, if you like his style as a director, it has a lot of it's stylistically very similar.
It was neat,
but
the
you
plot
know,
didn't hold up.
No, and it's one of those things that's like, I don't know. I felt like it was kind of a drunken night idea that just kind of got slapped on paper, except he's really good at selling his drunken ideas and making his drunken ideas to come, you know, put them on film. He's really good at them, but it doesn't save the fact that it just was kind of poorly conceived almost at what they were trying to tell in these 99 minutes. You know, it's like, I don't know. I just felt like there was a lot of stuff that they wanted to do, and a lot of it that was kind of just like slapped together. Like, oh, we're not going to really flesh out this idea, but we'll just kind of throw it on the wall and see if it sticks throughout the rest of the movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of like touchdown points where nothing was fleshed out really.
But the dude, you know, it's the same director as Amelie, but it's also the same lead dude in Amelie. Well, the guy in the cafe, like the, I don't know, the kind of the curmudgeon-y guy in the cafe. Yeah.
Me?
That's, no, not you. The curmudgeon-y guy in the cafe, you know, where Amelie works, or I think that's her name in the movie, right? It's Amelie? Yeah, okay. So, yeah, it's the same dude, but that guy needs to drink some goddamn Keystone Light. Because he has bitter beer face. Like, that guy has bitter beer face always. He's got this giant fucking forehead, and then his little mouth and all his facial features just scrunched together at the bottom, and he's like, this beer is bitter.
He's kind of got a little underbite, tiny mouth. His eyes are smushed together, and his nose is tiny. Is
very all the small symptoms of bitter beer face.
And Down syndrome.
Okay, maybe.
And the Downs.
Hopefully, but bitter beer face, mostly. I think he might have done those commercials. He might have made some money off those commercials.
I think the guy that did those commercials.
Yeah, he died too soon.
No, he had Downs.
No, he did not. No, he did not. Bullshit.
Prove me wrong.
Yeah, I guess I can't right now.
Maybe later.
What other notes you got? Any?
Any other? I wrote no.
Okay. No real other. Okay, so
like
I want, you know, the whole outside world thing. We got teased at the beginning, like you said. But it would have been really nice. Because at the beginning, it was like, oh, hey, this guy who's working here wants to get out and tries to get out through the garbage. And there's garbage service.
Yeah.
Leading you to believe that if this guy escaped, there's something better out there.
There's a fucking mailman through the entire movie.
Yeah. But there's no, after that guy gets, you know, taken out with the trash, there's no allusions to what else is out there other than this mailman who doesn't. He's just a guy who rides up on his motorcycle every once in a while.
Daily. And he's like, hey, what's up, guys? And if you can't last outside of this apartment for 2 weeks, how does this fucking mailman survive?
Yeah. No, that's true. You know, last thing I want to say is that there was an incredible opportunity here for a booby bump. Just an incredible opportunity, but they...
Several.
They just ruined it. They might get downgraded because of the lack... The tease.
They tease at least twice. I didn't really.
It's just painful. It's just painful.
We're talking about boobies.
So. The breasts. Yeah. what would you give this a rating? I think we should, do you plan, we watch this on Netflix, Watch Instantly. If you're interested after this commentary, I'd be surprised. But if you want to watch it, it's on Netflix, Watch Instantly. But are you planning on rating anything? Like star-wise?
Oh, no, no.
No?
On Netflix in general?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I don't do
Then that. We'll keep it at a 10-point scale. So what would you give the movie?
In terms of watchability, give it a 5, if just simply because it's kind of cool visually.
Yeah.
In terms of plot, a 3.
So a 4. So averages out to a 4.
This is 4.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean,
overall 4.
I would give it a 5 in general, because I feel like you said, it does have some unique cinema, like,
it's not even cinematography, just the...
Well, I feel like a lot of it is. I mean, and there's some art direction in there that's unique.
Yeah.
But, like, the cinematography and art direction kind of... You can watch it without hearing it and still kind of enjoy what you see on the screen. But as far as, like, a story that you're going to sit down, you know, turn the lights off and just dedicate 2 hours to, and, you know... It's not really worth the time. Knowing that this guy did Amelie, it's not at all worth it to, like, see it, you know, watch Amelie again if you're gonna watch this. But, you know, it kind of floats out there. It's not really in a genre. Like, it floats out there in this weird, like, atmospheric type movie, but post-apocalyptic, but love story. It's very odd. It's hard to classify, but, like, not in a good way. Like, in the bad way of hard to classify, because you just don't know what to call it, because it's not that good.
If anyone's seen City of Ember is definitely better, but this is like the French version of City of Ember without the murdering.
Mm. That's an important part. It's an important part. Very important part.
But it's not.
Of this movie?
There's not a lot of murdering.
Yeah, that's true. But
they open
the
it
idea
up like,
of murder over hangover.
It's a fear.
Yeah,
it's a fear throughout the movie that you're going to be killed because you're not following the rules. Go over these rules. I didn't catch the rules.
And these were very, very quickly stated. There were two rules, and there's just this general. You get the consensus first. Kind of going over it step by step. The plot, like the movie opens up where you see this guy wrapping himself in trash. He jumps in a trash can, and you realize that he's trying to escape by being taken out with the trash and getting in the garbage can and, like, leaving. But he gets caught and gets killed. But that was such a great setup. I was so excited for this movie because I got the Dead Snow vibe. For all those who watch Dead Snow, it just, like, Tyler got like that Sweeney Todd vibe where it's like a really kind of lighthearted murder romp almost. And those are fun movies. Like, Sweeney Todd was a fun movie. Dead Snow is an extremely fun movie. Like, those that take kind of the genre and just bring a little lightness to it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're fun. So that's where it opens up. And so you kind of understand now, after these, you know, first 3 minutes, that people are being killed. Well, and then he serves them up as sandwiches. And so then you're realizing, okay... Or as deli meat or whatever. Okay. You're realizing, okay, he's killing people to basically either run a business or to feed, you know, all these people. He's running a business because he's selling it to people. And the currency in this movie was very vague. It was nuts and corn and people's fingers and
I didn't see
not really fingers, but it was mostly corn, but like it was grain.
Grain.
But what did they do with the grain?
Relish in it?
Yeah.
He's like, ah, look at all the grain I've got. You're like, okay, cool, dude.
It like wasn't worth its weight in anything because you didn't do anything with it.
It's just this object. There's a thought of like planting this grain, but they couldn't plant it. So later on, hopefully after this, you know, nuclear winter goes over, we can plant this in the future and have food.
That makes sense. It wasn't
what I took it as.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you have to infer that it's not, you know.
Explain, it really had no
obviously. Idea. Yeah. But basically the rules were that, you know, they all revolved around when can we eat people. So one was like, there was this old lady tenant And it was like, listen, there are rules. There's an age limit where it's an agreed upon rule that after someone reaches this age, we kill them and we eat them. Because at any time after that, they're just their bodies are disintegrating. They're not going to be any good meat.
At a certain point, the meat goes bad.
Yeah, the meat will go bad, as G chimes in from across the room. But the other rule was that you don't eat your own. And so it was like you don't prey on the people in the apartment complex. Everyone works together to just kill the outsiders.
Yeah, unless they're fucking old, and then you eat the old people inside the apartment.
So yeah.
That rule is contradictory.
Well, no, that the secondary rule would be that the age limit.
Oh yeah, don't get old. But yeah.
Well, if you know the rules, then you just, you know, and that might be one, you know, this is kind of one of the major points that they're trying to illustrate an issue with that chick that's trying to kill herself. Like, they may be trying to illustrate, wow, life is so bad here and I'm just going to be eaten if I don't kill myself. Except she was really bad at killing herself and it was awesome.
And they seemed like a rich couple where they wouldn't have to worry about it. They kind of paid their way out of it.
Yeah. But what does money have, like, what does money get you in that world, though?
Meat. Food.
But obviously. Food. How long can you live off just eating other people and paying for eating other people?
How are they making money? Okay, we have the Moo Cow stupid toy.
Currency, yeah.
Who are they fucking selling that to?
Yeah.
There's no outside fucking world.
That's the whole point. Yeah, that's one of the whole problems.
You're selling it to the people inside the apartment? Because there's 10 of you total.
Yeah. But yeah, so I, you know, to bring it all in, I give it a 5. Tyler gives it a 4.
I was anticipating a movie where he was killing these people and the people eating the meat didn't know it was people.
I know. That would have been more exciting.
The fact that they knew ruined the movie for me. Like, they're like, oh, who are we going to get next? Because we're fucking hungry.
Yeah. If they would have approached it where the delicatessen owner didn't know, like, he was under the impression nobody else knew.
Right.
But then the tenants secretly knew, and that's why they were all scared. But he was still killing people in secrecy, quote unquote, to try and feed them. And, you know, that would have been better. But the fact that they were kind of all in on it together was...
And in the beginning,
weird.
I thought it was going to be like my anticipated view of this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, these people don't know, because the two guys are like, is this a shoulder? You think like pork shoulder or something that. And you don't know that. And the guy's like, yeah, it's shoulder. Give me 2 measures of your fucking corn.
Of your finest corn, you assholes.
Yeah, great. They think it's pork shoulder. They're getting pork shoulder. Here we go. And I'm like, great. This is going to be awesome. No one knows. It's going to be kind of that fucked up movie where the owner of the delicatessen's like...
And at the end?
I'm killing people and these fuckers
Soylent
don't know.
Green is people.
And I'm slowly killing the old woman and serving it to her family because they don't know. And she died of natural causes.
So diabolical.
But no, they all knew and that ruined it.
Which would be similar to Sweeney Todd, too. If they ate each other. Would have been better. Unknowingly ate each other. Yeah. It would have been... Better movie
so
if you unknowingly.
I would have given it a 6 or 7 if that had come into play. Probably a 6.
Take notes, all French fucking directors.
Not a 7, maybe a 6. Moved up 2 points.
That's high
praise.
Because
it would have added more fun.
That's
into
high
the movie.
Praise, Tyler. It's high praise.
Not just plot wise, it would have added
more
fun.
Agree.
Into
I agree.
It, right?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
We missed a point of importance right when we jumped on. How'd you do on your goal of beers? Did you drink 5?
I think you got 5.
Yeah, I got 5.
I opened 6. Yeah. No,
okay.
We're good.
So you got 5, I got 5. So just to clear that up.
Well, yeah. We're going to say.
Yeah.
Cause
got it. Nailed it.
They're hazards.
Nailed it. All right. So that's our review. You know, definitely if you have seen it, I really would love to hear what you thought. Hit us up on Facebook when we post this episode. If you haven't and you check it out and then you want to comment, I would love to hear what anyone says. Because
I doubt anyone's going
to
watch it.
I know, but that's... If anyone does, I would love to hear what you thought of it because it's kind of a... It's like a movie that would be open to a lot of different viewing, you know, like depending on what type of... I don't know. You could interpret it differently. Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's move on to what we watched.
This week?
Yeah, what'd you watch this week? We went over yours, but...
I watched a lot of movies this week. It was mostly sports documentaries.
Yep.
I watched To Live and Ride in L.A., fixed gear movie about just guys in L.A. Ride the Divide, which was kind of a neat movie. Mountain bikers from British Columbia. They bike 2,700 miles to the border of Mexico.
What's that trail called? Is that what they did? The trail down the Pacific?
It's called The Divide. It's from, like, Canada through Montana, then you go... Through the Rocky Mountains, basically.
Yeah, because there's another one that's up like this... I don't know, it goes through, like, from San Diego up through, like, the...
More flat, yeah.
Trail of Tears?
Inappropriate.
Exactly, yes, it was the Trail of Tears.
Uncalled for. Too soon.
I watched some documentary on Jens Pulver, like... Basically getting back into fighting. I think it was his...
He's an MMA dude.
Last fight, yeah. James Pulver. Watched a movie on Troy Bayliss, who's a superbike racer, or was a superbike racer from Australia. Kind of neat. Watched a movie on Lindsey Vonn. Not as cool as I thought it was going to be. Yeah. I saw this picture, and I was... No one else can see it, but if you look, if you go to...
Netflix on Xbox.
Go to Lindsey Vonn. You can see this picture of her lifting weights, and her stomach looks great, and her face looks just fantastic. And you go to the actual movie, it gets less fantastic. Watch the Bang Bang Club, and you showed me the images. Were they Pulitzer Prize winning images, or were they?
Yeah. It was like the award winning, basically the award winning pictures for some award. Year by year. And they give one picture, like, the award each year.
Bang Bang Club, Ryan Phillippe is in it. Mm-hmm. Not the best movie ever, but it was entertaining to watch. It's based on actual people, which is kind of neat. The photos in the movie are real photos, so you kind of get to see flashes of it. But it basically is takes place in South Africa. During, like, right when Mandela is running for office.
Okay.
And there was this big, tribal battles between two tribes. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the two. I want to say, like, Hutsis and... No, but that's Rwanda. Yeah. That was Rwanda. I can't...
Hutu or whatever.
Yeah, that's definitely Rwanda. I can't think off the top of my head, but it was two... Native South African tribes fighting against each other, and basically these four white journalists go out and take pictures of it, and it's all about the kind of blatant racism between white and black in South Africa. And the white guys are allowed anywhere because of the fact that they're fucking white, and then black guys, even these black journalists in the movie are like, fuck you because you're white, you can do whatever you want. Because I'm black, I have to choose a side of black. Like, which side am I going to be in? If I don't choose the right side, I'm going to be killed when I go out. And because you're white, you don't have to choose a side. So it was kind of a neat movie to watch. And the end of the movie, they kind of, again, as all movies do based on real life, they give you like, hey, where are these guys at these days?
Cool.
A couple of them were Pulitzer Prize winning dudes. So cool movies. Nice. Watched a couple surf movies on... Like Bruce Brown, like, mm-hmm. 60s surf movies, and that was it.
Cool, man. I just watched French movies. I caught up with a couple. I caught up with La Femme Nikita, which I didn't like. I gave it a 2-star, didn't like, on Netflix.
I've never seen it.
Just wasn't a big fan. Like, you know, they made a TV series out of it.
They really did.
All this stuff. It's like, it had to be... You know, pretty good, right? And the best part was when Jean Reno came on for about 4 minutes.
Jean Reno's in the movie?
Yeah. And he came on for about 4 minutes, and he was the best part. He was basically relieving me of all this, like, the burden of this movie, because it just wasn't, I don't know, the premise, I can see where the premise was, you know, easy to take to a, you know, hour-long, weekly-type show. But for God's sake, like, it was, I don't know, it just wasn't well done. It was like, so the way I kind of equated it, and I tweeted this, is that, you know, La Femme Nikita, the girl in France, it was released as just Nikita.
Right.
And so her name was Nikita. And she was so pissed off about this whole thing. It's basically, if you haven't seen or don't know anything about this, it's she is a criminal and gets, you know, basically arrested and turned into this government program where they rehab criminals to become like fighters and, you know, government, I don't know, spies and snipers and trained killers and stuff. Sounds badass, right? Bourne did it way better, yeah. But this was just like, she hated her life and hated the entire place. And it was like, yeah, I totally agree with you. I hated this entire movie as well. Like, it just wasn't, it wasn't fun for me either. You had a shitty time in the movie. I had a shitty time watching you have a shitty time in the movie.
The fact that Jean Reno's in it's kind of cool.
No, he's good for 4 minutes, but that's, okay, you know, that's little consolation for an hour and, I don't know, 40 minutes.
I don't know why I like him.
Dude, he's badass. He's in Leon, The Professional, which could come up on your list.
Cause which that's is a also French movie. A remake of true. Le Professionnel.
True, true. But it is
French. Le Professionnel, the original, the 60s version, is in my top five.
Boom! What about Beauty and the Beast original? Is that in your top five?
I haven't seen it, so
yeah,
I can't.
Neither have I.
Love the Disney
version. Yeah, so...
Disney version.
So that's... Top five. I watched that. I also watched the Mezrin movies, which basically are movies. They came out in 2008. It's almost like Kill Bill, but they came out even closer to each other. Where it's like Kill Bill, where it's two parts of the same story.
Yeah,
it's the same sort of thing, but it was a story of Mezrin, who's basically the most infamous like bank robber type criminal in France, in the history of France. And
true story.
Yeah, and it was based on a true story. It
makes it even better.
It was actually really cool, but what made it cooler was that I read a lot about the actual dude while I was watching these, like on Wikipedia, and I went back and kind of looked at some of the critical, I don't know,
you went farther
the up. Acclaim and criticism about these movies, and like the people who were actually involved, like Mezrin's, I don't know if it's wife. I wouldn't say wife, but like mistress at the time when he died.
Yeah.
Like, about what she was pissed off about at the during the, you know, about the movies and all this kind of stuff is really, really interesting. Kind of just to kind of get that. Because I'd never heard of this guy, but he's infamous in France. So it's like 2008 is this, apparently, that when they decide to make these movies.
He's like the Clyde of France.
Yeah.
Why didn't we watch that movie?
So
we both watched
it's,
it.
It's double. Yeah, we'd already watched
it. I'd already seen both and...
It's two, yeah. It's a movie that's in two pieces, but Vincent Cassel is in it, and that dude is the best French actor of all time.
Agreed.
I'll put it out there. I'll put it out there. He's amazing.
He's great.
He's amazing.
He's always, yeah. Amazing.
He'll come up on my list. So yeah, that's what we watched. We're gonna take a little break, and then we'll come back, and we'll do our top five favorite French films.
Let's do that.
We're back on Critical Drinking. We're going to both crack more beers. Boom. That's how we do it. Every break, we crack a beer. That's how we do it on CD55. All right. So let's roll right into top five favorite French films. We've watched Delicatessen. Tyler has claimed that he has only seen now six French movies. So let's see if Delicatessen makes it on his list. Tyler, kick off our top five.
Top five. I'm going to say Brotherhood of the Wolf is five.
Is your number five? All right.
I love that movie. It was released in the United States. Watched it in 2001, I believe it was released out here.
Yeah.
Loved it. Saw it in the theaters, actually.
I've never seen it.
Fucking awesome movie, dude. And what's his deuce? The guy that was in Mezrin or Mezrin?
Oh, Vince Cassel? Vincent Cassel?
Was in this movie.
Yeah.
Great actor. He was the bad guy in this movie.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of these things, like, because I try and watch movies related to the top five throughout the week,
mm-hmm.
and there's been so many times where I've just said, I just wanted to subscribe to DVDs just so like I can get that one DVD that's not on instant every week.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, Netflix has burned that bridge for me. I'll be honest. They burned that bridge. So I'm never going back to DVDs. Yeah, cool. Good. I'm just going to assume that's a good pick because I will if I can ever get it on fucking instant. My number five is a weird pick. It's Irreversible. It's a Gaspar Noé movie featuring Vincent Cassell and Monica Bellucci. And for anyone who's seen it, you will question this pick because that is a disturbing, disturbing movie. But seriously, like, I like it because I respect it so much. Because it's a movie, it has about, it's, I don't know, hour 45 at least, and it's got about 13 takes. So all of it is basically long takes. Some of the stuff that he does, including the fire extinguisher smash to the face scene, is all in one take, and it's impressive what he does with that. It's told in reverse chronological order, just like Memento. There is amazing storytelling going on without any blatant storytelling. It's like all kind of inferred behind the scenes type stuff. It's hard to watch, especially the eight and a half minute rape scene that is just uncut, like blatant. That's, if I could take that part out of the movie and tell you that, you know, that, but that would detract from the movie. I mean, it's part of the movie. It's really hard to watch, but I really respect the movie for having so many of those scenes that are just hard to watch and that kind of the topic that is so hard to watch. But I mean, the filmmaking aspect is for me like second to none. That, like, it's in the top tier of filmmaking that I've seen. It's like the overarching theme of it is just amazing. It's like 2001, like the theme of 2001, but in reverse, like basically saying that, you know, like where 2001 says, you know, is basically an overarching theme of life. Like life becomes life, and evolution goes on. This movie is basically counteractive to that theme. It is saying that life breeds worse and worse society, and de-evolution is what happens. And this movie kind of explores the de-evolution. And it's just like, I don't know, I don't have enough good things to say about it, even though it's really like, if you're just like, oh, that sounds kind of good, he had a glowing review about it, no, don't just pick it up and watch it on a whim. Like, be ready to sit down and say this is a really hard movie to watch, but I think that I'm going to enjoy the cinematic aspect and I will appreciate it. That's when you want to sit down and watch this movie. So Irreversible is my number five. Number four is The 400 Blows, which is an old movie. You know, it's considered one of the greats of French cinema. I watched it in film class in college. It's French New Wave, which was kind of a huge landmark in French cinema, is what they describe as French New Wave. Basically kind of catapulted them from what standard cinema was into, you know, consider it like their Easy Rider moment, where it's like New Hollywood. That's French New Wave. It's a story of a young kid who basically, due to lack of attention and lack of affection from home, takes to a life of, you know, petty crime, like small-time kid crime. But it's totally one of those movies that you watch and you just say, wow, like, they just don't make movies like they used to. Like, it's really, really well done. It's got, you know, really good storytelling. It's got really good character development, and it's not flashy by any means. It's just a story, you know, it's basically a tale. And I forget the director's name. It's one of the famous French directors from that time, but it was essentially an autobiographical tale of his life, kind of how he grew up. So it's got even more authenticity, you know, given to it, considering it was taken from real experiences and real, like, you know, it wasn't just something that somebody wrote on paper thinking this would be a good idea. It was like, this happened to me, and I think that it would make, you know, a good movie. So The 400 Blows is my number four. How about you?
I feel like you always have really good choices for movies, and I always feel like I grab a movie, I'm like, that was awesome to watch because I enjoyed watching it.
It is favorite. This is favorite, though. This, you could say, You like...
You poop on a stick is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know it's my favorite.
But yeah.
But I just feel like you have favorites for great reasons. My favorite, my number four, is The Horde. Have you ever seen this movie?
I have not.
No, it's fucking great. It's a French zombie movie. It's basically these cops go into this apartment building again. The whole trapped in an apartment building mm-hmm. feel of the movie we just watched, kind of. But cops go into an apartment building to arrest these thugs, French thugs, if there are such things.
Mm-hmm. Sipping French. Their cafes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Foutoir.
Smoking the cigarettes.
Cigarette. Beaches. That type of thing. Yeah. So they go in there to arrest these, and then all of a sudden the cops and the thugs realize, they look out the window and there's hordes of zombies. Out of nowhere. There's awesome. No really rhyme or reason as to why they're there, but you see them, and basically they band together with huge guns and fight off these zombies.
Nice. I like that.
It's a great movie to watch. Sounds like fun. It's an enjoyable movie to watch. You'll sit down, you're not going to be bored by it.
Yeah.
You're not even going to read what's happening. You're just going to watch what's happening.
Nice.
So it's that kind of movie.
Those are good approachable foreign films. The ones that you really don't need to follow along with the actual words.
You don't. And Brotherhood of the Wolf is the same way.
A lot of people stray away from foreign movies because they don't want to read the subtitles.
Right.
So, and the dubbed versions always suck.
These are like the dumbass movies to go watch. If nice. You're going to watch a foreign movie, go watch the dumbed down version of a foreign movie.
Nice.
That's what I'm giving.
Nice.
It's fucking
very approachable. Tyler's giving you the approachable French.
You're giving all the
smart... You should write a book. You should write a book about it.
Yeah. I'm going to pick all the smart movies. You actually have to read to figure out what the fuck is going on. I'm going to give you the dumb movies that are actually easy to watch.
Nice.
Nice. So again, Brotherhood of the Wolf, same thing. It's a wolf that kills people.
The gray.
Fucking easy.
Nice.
That's actually a really cool movie to watch cinematically. Like, there's some cool shots in the movie. So, but The Horde... No cool shots. Just a lot of blood, a lot of zombies.
Sweet. Everyone can appreciate some good old-fashioned zombie killing.
Number three, Le Professionnel, which is The Professional, but the earlier version, which is the actual French version.
Yep.
Everyone knows, everyone's seen the Jean Reno version.
Great movie. Natalie Portman.
Yep. Young and taut. She was very young. She was probably like 13, 14.
Seriously, yeah.
Yeah, but great movie, Hitman. Everyone can... kind of read along with that. It's pretty fucking easy.
I think a lot of people have probably seen the remake.
Yeah, it's the same exact movie. Yeah. It's just the earlier version. It's like watching... I was going to say Gone in 60 Seconds, but the earlier version is totally different than the newer version. The earlier mm-hmm. version sucked ass.
Yeah. Exactly.
But,
Because it didn't have Nicolas Cage in it. That's a problem.
Truth.
It's all praise. My number three is A Prophet. Or Un Prophet, or whatever it is. This is a movie, I believe, 2009 or 2008 or something like that.
Yeah.
Was nominated for an Oscar. I believe it won the Oscar for Best Foreign Film that year. It won the French fucking whatever the French award is, whatever it's called. Actually, I'm not sure it did win the French film.
It starts with a C.
No. It's their version of the Oscar
that
they give away. They've started it like in 75 or something.
No one cares.
But anyways, yeah. This movie, and you know, chime in if you agree or disagree or have any points since this is on your list. But this movie requires a certain amount of patience to really appreciate, because there's a lot of detail and a lot of dialogue that kind of drives the movie. And
it's a prison movie.
Yeah.
It's
set in prison, so there's not too much that can really go on. Unlike Shawshank, though, I feel like Shawshank has a lot going on when it's set in prison. This is more like actual prison and actual like day-to-day shit, but really effectively done. It's one of the best... I would put it on par with Shawshank as one of the best prison set movies that I've ever seen, because it was one of those movies that it seems to move so slow, but you just cannot
break away
from it, because you're so ingrained in every single little detail. You just want to hug onto every little grain of information you can get. And I had probably more fun with this movie than I had with the rest of the American movies that year. Like, it was just a lot of fun to watch. I own it now, thanks to Blockbuster's going out of business sale. And man, so, yes, you may. And so I'm probably going to watch it this week just because I enjoyed it so much. 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's kind of slow if you're that type of person that wants a really action-packed movie, but it's worth it.
Great movie.
So that's my my number three. My number two is the movie that, if you kind of looked on the list, you'd see, hey, this is the best French movie. I don't want to say it's a cop-out because I have my own reasons for liking it, but it's The Rules of the Game, which is an old black and white, I think it was like 30s or 40s, but it was talky, and it's black and white, but it's considered, on a lot of lists you see it nominated, or a lot of critics at least say that this is one of the best movies ever made, and I think it's amazing. I honestly think it's one of the best movies I've ever seen. It's about, basically, the kind of the synopsis is, there is this dinner party, and there's been so many of these old movies revolved around a dinner party, but there's this dinner party, but there's all these dynamics, and it's really about character development. And if it was about killing, it would completely be a psychological thriller, because it's not about the action of the movie. There is some slapstick kind of stuff in there that really actually is a lot of fun to watch, but it's about the characters and how they interact and how each story weaves within the other. Kind of like a modern, like Crash would be a modern day example of like this, how each story kind of finds its way into each other's story. But they're all in the same room. It's not like you're, oh, hey, this guy lives next to this guy as neighbors. It's like, no, you kind of see exactly how they go in. But it's not just about a dinner party. It's about kind of a I would almost call it like a weekend getaway for all of these people. So they all meet somewhere, and then, you know, they go out hunting, and that's a lot of fun to watch. And then they have it's a ton of fun. It is extremely well done. The juggling of, like, so many plot lines and characters and all this kind of stuff that they do so seamlessly is just, like, amazing. And for being subtitled and for being black and white, kind of like I said about the Like a Prophet, it's one of those movies that you're just glued to the entire time, and not in a suspenseful way, but because you just can't get away from this movie. That's my number two.
Alright. So what am I on? Two?
You're on two.
Two is The Prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already covered that. Am I going on number one?
You have no other
So I have to go to number one, right?
Yeah.
Number one, I don't feel cinematically it was that great, but the those two movies were enjoyable fucking movies to watch. Those, I watched the first one, and it was probably about a year ago I watched it, and instantly knew there was a second one, wanted to watch the second one.
Oh, yeah.
That second. It was like Kill Bill, where, I don't know, you were saying, like, it's the continuation of a movie, and it's like basically a 4-hour fucking movie, but you could sit through that entire 4 hours and be entertained.
Yeah.
And not take a break. Like, that's what I enjoyed about it, was I wanted to keep going.
Yeah.
Where it kind of paused you, and you're
Kirsten,
like, shit. Kirsten
did too.
Huh?
Believe it or not. Kirsten hates subtitled movies. Sat through half of the first one, wanted to watch the second one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's something to say. Like, it's a cool story. Like, it goes through probably almost 40 years of this guy's life. 30,
it's
40
the
years.
The entire chronicle of, like, his...
So it's really cool to watch him come back from... It's World War II, right?
Yeah.
And his rise to power, and, like, just kind of how he does things. He goes to prison, escapes prison, all this other shit. Like,
three fucking times.
Yeah.
If you're not interested in this movie yet... There are three fucking prison escapes in this movie.
In the fucking... Between the two
and
movies.
It's awesome.
Yeah. They're great. And there's shooting, and there's gunfighting, people dying, there's bank robberies.
A lot of bank robberies.
It's just a cool movie. In terms of French cinema, probably shitty. Like,
It's not artsy.
It's not artsy. It's entertaining.
It's very entertaining. I agree.
Like, I haven't seen my fair share. Like, I was looking through... I was Googling top 50 French movies of all time, and the one I'd seen on there was like Amelie.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one of the there was one about Joan of Arc that was made in the 30s that I had seen.
Yeah.
And City of Lost Children. And that was out of the top 50, those were like the three I'd seen. And I was like, fuck, why did I pick French? Like I thought I'd seen more French films, and I guess I've got a lot of like work to do here. Like there's a lot of, I feel like French cinema peaked in like 60s, 70s.
It was
like
earlier than us, I feel like.
Yeah. Like they made a lot of cool movies, I feel like 50s, 60s, 70s.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And I missed out on all of that. So I feel like I need to go back and revisit all these movies. Mm-hmm. And like you were just saying, this movie was black and white. When was it made, do you know? Last one you mentioned?
The Rules of the Game is like 30s or 40s. It's like, I want to say 36.
I feel like French cinema has got a lot on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff I need to go back and check out. But
yeah, well, it's like 36 for France is like 66 for America.
They were ahead of us.
Ahead of us. Yeah.
We kind of, I don't know. I don't want to.
Box office dollars, maybe, but...
Yeah, recently, fuck that. But yeah, we make some bullshit. Shitty movies.
Yeah.
But, cool. There's, like... I know, in my head, like, there's a lot of stuff I need to go see. That's it. Like,
cool,
that's,
man.
That's
my I mean, we'll hit up some more countries.
I felt
dumbed
down this time. Like, I feel like...
maybe suggest something... some other country next time that you're more...
Even, more like, we moved to Japan, it's all, like... If I want to go see
the
Japanese movies, it's like, I'm going to stab you with fucking samurai swords. Yeah.
Dude, seriously.
So
just put seven samurai in your queue and you're good.
I've got some Akira Kurosawa movies that I'm all about. So
nice. Okay. So my number one, I definitely want to give respect to Mezrine. I saw it too recently and my list was kind of formed. But interestingly, the first movie was based on his autobiography that he wrote in prison. So it's kind of a little more, he's just a controlled badass. The second one was based on kind of his, after getting out of prison, his exploits.
How do you know this?
After that, dude, Wikipedia. I was sitting through 4 hours of movies Wikipedia and like just interested because it was a very interesting like story. But the second one is based on kind of like more of the, I don't know if you call it like, in America, like the Hollywood version of his story.
The movies have two different feels.
Yeah. The second one, I feel like, is made to be more fun, but I feel like I like the first one more because it set him up really well.
That's what I liked,
His mistress or whatever, his girlfriend, really did not like the second one because it made him out to be more of a killer, more of like an asshole type character,
right.
And she felt like he really was. But hey. You know, and I like getting kind of the background on movies like that. It was a lot of fun. I liked it a lot. My number one, you mentioned it, Ryan would have picked this as well. It's a no-brainer, for me at least, is Amelie. Like, that movie is the epitome of French cinema for me.
Yep.
It's unquestionably my favorite. I don't know where I would put it in the list of best that I've seen, but it's definitely my favorite. The kind of like I said with Delicatessen, like I tried to pull the good parts out of Delicatessen that I really felt that the director could have brought because he did Amelie. Like it's really well directed. I feel like cinematically it's really fun to watch because they use a lot of interesting camera angles that really like. Not just the angles, but the way they use the camera is telling the story on its own. So sort of like you're saying where you can not watch the subtitles.
Right.
I feel like Amelie is the same way, just because of how well they tell the story visually. The music is so whimsical and so kind of happy and just goes along with the story really well. The art direction is really good. The color just pops like ridiculous. Like that's the most colorful movie. If you ask me what's the most colorful movie you've ever seen, immediately Amelie pops into my head.
Look at the fucking cover of the DVD.
No, well, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. But it's just like...
You can just tell... You don't read a book by the cover, but you read the book.
Yeah, yeah. You get the cover. She's all in red. She has a white face and she's got the green behind
background.
Her. Yeah. Like it just pops and it pops really well. But like just... just the whole feel of that movie, the plot. Like, we were complaining that Delicatessen didn't really have a linear, like, plot that you could cling on to the whole time. Amelie is the opposite. It has a lot of plot, like, that just goes straightforward throughout. But you get these fringe things that really kind of accentuate the, I don't know, the whimsy of the, you know, the main plot point. And so, I don't know, I really like it. I can watch it anytime it's on TV. I watch it. When
Agreed.
Last time it was on TV, I made Kirsten watch it. She loved it. I mean, it's just, I love that movie. It's awesome.
I agree. I watched that movie multiple times, where most of my top five I've watched once, mm-hmm. and I probably won't watch again.
Yeah.
So Amelie, it's an honorable mention in my book, but that movie's fucking great.
For sure. Well, let's roll right in there.
It's honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions. Hit it.
I guess Amelie is
there. You go.
On there, obviously. But yep. Same director as Amelie and Delicatessen, City of Lost Children.
I've been waiting to see. That's the one I wanted to see based on the fucking DVD. Weird. It's only on DVD with Netflix.
Weird movie. It's very similar to the feel of Delicatessen in terms of the
darkness?
The darkness.
Yeah.
It's a very, like, post-apocalyptic feel where this weird scientist is trying to steal the dreams of these children.
Yeah.
And it's got Ron Perlman, who's
weird
himself.
We know that
big
dude.
Teeth, motherfucker.
Yeah, he does have big teeth.
So, it's a weird feel, and I don't necessarily like the weird feel of movies like that. Like, they don't really capture my attention as much as other films do.
You can appreciate it, but then you're just like, not so into it.
I
don't want to watch you again.
Like, and again, I don't want to come back to this, but City of Ember is the same type of feel, where it's like, these people are living underground, and it's a weird type feel movie where you don't know the outside world, and this movie felt the same way, but it was a cool movie to watch. Like,
yeah,
the plot was better than Delicatessen.
There you go. That
it was
that
more
helps.
Fully formed than Delicatessen, so in that aspect I liked it more than the movie we watched, but it was very similar.
Yeah,
very similar style, which was kind of cool to watch. Like, I didn't know it was the same director till just now.
Oh, yeah? You, like,
literally
it up?
Yeah. And nice. That was the thing I said. Didn't I say that? During the movie, I was like, dude, I got a couple of them. Not a biggie. I'm
getting beer
all.
Refills here.
Not a big
TK's
deal.
TK's got a couple he's working on. And he's in the middle of two.
It's
actually, he's at the end of two.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt the flow.
Heat type things. Yeah. So,
Can
I make one? But, I think I said that during this movie. I feel like this feels like this movie. I feel like, and I didn't know that until I looked it up.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, you called it, basically, but that's one of those things that I feel like that, and I forget the director's name, like
Jean-Pierre Jeunet.
Jeunet, yeah. He's like the French Woody Allen in terms of being an auteur that you can watch a movie without knowing who's in it or who it is and know it's his.
You can tell it's his.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Woody Allen, you know, like you watch Midnight in Paris without, you go into it blind, you're going to, who made that? That's a Woody Allen movie.
Right.
Like the same sort of auteur type aspect, I feel like it's this guy. And that is one of the reasons why I wanted to watch Delicatessen, why I really want to watch City of Lost Children, is because I really enjoy the way he makes movies. And, like, kind of the feel of his movies, you know what I mean?
He does these, like, creepy close-ups in both movies. And in Amelie, but I guess...
And the bitter beer face guy. The guy's in everything.
I feel like that's... The creepy scientist in this movie...
Worse?
I feel like...
Worse bitter beer face?
No.
No?
But it's, like, the zoom in and just teeth really, like, get to me. Like, when you have bad teeth...
Dude! Same.
Hey,
same.
Like,
I hate bad mouths.
And, like... It's he does that quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's like the extreme close up and it's just the face.
Nastiness.
Yeah. That kind of it pulls in the feel of the movie where it's supposed to be kind of creepy, supposed to be kind of post apocalyptic where you don't have a toothbrush.
Right.
Kind of thing. I don't know how much to say about it. I haven't seen it.
I'm gonna cut you off. Oh,
can I cut you off?
Oh!
No, I just gassed a little bit. Oh! It was a little late.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, it wasn't a full-fledged opening.
All right. It was a gas. Now you may continue.
Guest in turn.
You got any more honorable mentions in there? A bag of tricks?
Thought I did, but...
You can always pipe in.
Yeah.
You know, going. Throughout. I got some honorable mentions. One is Mesrine, as I've already kind of said, so I won't waste time on that. Another is Pickpocket, which is...
I've been wanting to watch that.
Dude. Good? Is it on Instant?
No.
Okay, yeah. That's one of the ones that I would have DVD'd. Okay. I watched that in the same time I watched... what was it? 400 Blows. I watched it in film class. And, dude, like, that... It's just a really cool... It was in our film noir area of study. Mm-hmm. This is very film noir, like... It's very dark. It's very, like, you know, thief against police. You know, all this, you know, hiding in the shadows. That type of sort of feel of film noir movies back then. Everything's wet. You know, like...
Constantly.
Like it's always nighttime, and it's always wet. Yeah. That's film noir classic, mm-hmm. you know? But it's a really cool movie because it has a guy that I feel like might have been a real pickpocket. Like, you know those movies where you watch and you go... Okay, I can't. That's bullshit. Like, that guy's not doing that. Like, a robbery or some sort of bullshit like that. But this is, like, you actually see really close up, like, his hand moving into a pocket and just slipping a billfold out. You're like, wow. He could have stolen that from me, and I would have never known. He could have taken my watch off, and I would have never known. Like, he's actually really, at least whoever they used for that was really skilled. But it's a lot of fun just because, like, those movies, you know, about thieves like that are kind of fun because you root for the thief.
Right.
Like, you're like, ooh, is he going to get this? You know, is he going to actually get away with this without the person knowing? He did. Yes. You know, that kind of thing. It's a lot of fun to watch. And that, you know, that's one that I had a good time with.
So the movie is about pickpockets.
It's about pickpockets. The judge the movie by the title. It's about pickpockets.
I kind of thought.
A pickpocket.
And you're like rooting the... Go ahead.
No, I liked it.
I want to see it.
It was good. The opening scene is on a train where he's basically just robbing the shit out of people. Like, dude, you see these fast fingers? Boom, I got your wallet.
Look at
boom. Oh, I bumped into you with my newspaper. Boom, took your wallet. It's like,
yeah. Oh, I just stole your hat. And I'm wearing it now.
It's my hat. It's totally my hat. Yeah, no, it's good, though. I like it. I liked it. Next would be a childhood favorite, The Red Balloon. The Red Balloon is obscure.
Where the fuck were you raised?
Seriously. No, this is one of my mom's favorite movies, too. And I believe The Red Balloon is a silent movie, but it's in color. And it's just this, and it's very short. I would say it can't last more than an hour 20. But it's basically this entire story of, like, this silent story of a kid chasing a balloon down the street, down around. You know, it's like, I don't know, just, I haven't seen it in a long time, but for no other reason, it's on my list, on my honorable mentions list, because I watched it growing up. It's one of those movies that, like E.T., that I was just all over as a kid. So Red Balloon's an honorable mention. Another honorable mention is Un Chien Andalou. It's that movie that I talked about way back when I said disturbing movies. And this actually, Irreversible came up on that same list. Un Chien Andalou and Irreversible came up on the same list. But Un Chien Andalou is one of those weirdo French movies that it's cool and it's interesting to see because it, like, the process way back then of, like, avant-garde type shit. But one of the scenes is the dude cutting a chick's eyeball in half. And you just wonder, how the fuck do they do that? Un Chien Andalou? It's like an old, I think it's like avant-garde type French stuff. It's not a film class, you know, movie. Yeah. But like they cut this chick's eyeball and it's just like, holy shit, how do they do that? Because it almost looks like...
What was in her head?
Yeah. But it, like, I've read about it. It wasn't actually her eyeball. It was, like, somehow some effect that they used. Like, they replaced... It was a... They got a girl with one eye and put an egg in there. So I don't know what it was. But it looked really real. And like for, I don't know, 1920s?
Wait.
It was
awesome. The movie you're talking about? I mean,
yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It was probably some chick's real eyeball.
Yeah, it might have been some chick's real eyeball. Last honorable mention I got is Rubber. And this is a half honorable mention.
But this movie,
have you not seen Rubber?
No.
Okay,
I haven't seen anything you've ever mentioned.
Rubber is a French movie that was brought to the U.S. I think it was a French movie made for like U.S. audiences.
Paris Jatin?
I think it was made...
That's got U.S. actors in it.
Yeah. You know what? This might be a halfer. This is why it's an honorable mention. It's a movie about a tire who commits murder. It's a serial killer tire. Literally, a tire. Nobody controls the tire except the fucking tire. It's a tire. It's all this breaking the fourth wall shit. It's hilarious, like movie making type. It's a movie about movies, and it's about a tire who murders people.
That sounds like the greatest movie ever.
It's great. You take the air out of it, and it.
Seriously, you need to watch it. It's pretty hilarious.
You can't take air out of a tire that's not on a rim, motherfucker.
So boom!
It's not on a rim.
It's not on a rim.
Just a tire.
It's just a tire.
You can't take air out of just a tire.
But it's just...
That tire's killing people.
It's pretty awesome.
That tire's killing
people. And it just starts shaking. And it's like, with its tire mind, it just blows people up. With its tire brain. I didn't know tires had brains.
Apparently.
But with its tire brain, it just... Boom!
Fucking
blows people up.
Actually, last one is a definite... This is a quarter shout out or a quarter honorable mention because it was a co-production between Poland, Germany, UK, and France. The Pianist.
The Pianist, great movie.
I thought The Pianist was. I hadn't seen it until about 2 years ago.
That's a good movie.
Literally, one of the most underrated or at least least talked about war movies, but one of the best. It's an incredible war movie. It's really good. So that's my last one.
I can't remember the name, but I watched a movie recently with it's a French assassin in Japan.
Mm.
And it was like a Japanese... It was a Japanese movie with a French dude in it. I can't remember the fucking name.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
I don't think I've seen it.
So, glorious.
But yeah, hey, there's our top five. Agree, disagree? Hit us up in the comments.
Totally agree to my list.
Yeah.
Disagree to Kevin's list because I haven't seen shit out of that list.
Yeah.
My list, enjoyable to watch if you're a regular movie watcher.
Yeah.
Kevin's list, you have to be some sort of artiste to watch that shit.
Totally sucks.
Isn't fucking the Lou.
That's true.
This isn't the Lou. This is movie watching. Okay?
Can we make that our new tagline?
This isn't the Lou.
Critical drinking. This isn't the Lou. This is movie watching.
Yeah. Well, people watch movies to be entertained, not to be fucking artsy as shit, you bitch.
Hey. I don't argue with you. I don't disagree.
I try to be artsy.
But people are entertained by different things.
People are going to disagree with what I just said. I guarantee I'm going to get torn my ass apart.
Everyone, hit up the comments. Tear them a new asshole. All right. Shoutouts.
I want it to be more artsy.
You got
a
shout-out?
That's not my shout-out.
Yeah.
I want it to be more artsy, but I couldn't because I don't know French film.
But we'll do better next time. We might actually not do another like country next time. We might just change it up and do some other things. No. I don't know. Listeners
this
might
made
get
it
bored
interesting
with,
to me.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Hey, yeah. Maybe that's our poll. Actually, do you want our next episode to be foreign film or opposite?
Nope.
Domestic film. I don't
opposite
know.
Of
foreign
what
film
we did
or like
tonight.
A familiar film. You know, I don't know. All right. You got a shout out? Yes, you do. You have a shout out to the top bar where a certain someone, Tyler G, got his face licked. Shout out to that place.
Oh.
Tell that story.
Round bar?
Tell that story.
It was at Upper Bar on Redondo Pier. I don't even know what the fucking bar is.
It doesn't matter. It's on Redondo Pier.
It's on Redondo Pier. You got to go upstairs at the bar.
G is going to
Chime in here.
He's going to chime in.
I can feel it.
Yeah.
But okay. We all, me, Tyler G, and Alan walk into this bar. Alan and I sit down at a round table, but it's kind of on the wall near a window. Alan and I sit close to the window, and Tyler G is, his back is to the rest of the bar. Alan and I look to our left. I look to my left, Alan looks to his right, sees this creepy old woman kind of eyeing us both. And we look at each other and we both know, we kind of like nod and we know this is gross.
Shit's going to go down.
Shit's going to be gross.
Yeah.
And we laugh about it, kind of knowing, and nod and laugh and gross, kind of throw up in our mouths and stuff. We look away out the window and turn to our left and right, and chick is next to us. And next,
it's like next, a horror movie.
Next to Tyler G.
She was real.
Next to Tyler G, like a creepy mongrel. And she comes up to us, she goes,
an old mongrel.
Comes up next to us and she says something to the sort of, why are you guys here? You're extremely hot. To all of us. And
specifically looking at me.
Yes. And you got the brunt of the beating there. And
the brunt of your hot comment. Okay. Go ahead.
Let's just clarify. Tyler was the most hot. Let's clarify.
Just to clarify.
Okay. Lutfi and I look at each other and kind of giggle and laugh a bunch and start yelling. We talked to her a little bit, but I don't remember talking to her much. Most of it was trying to avoid her.
There was looking away. There was few words. There was a lot more action.
It was a lot more action on your cheek than anything. Action. I feel like we looked away a bunch. Alan and I laughed and giggled to each other a bunch, and you got your face fucking licked by AIDS mouth.
AIDS mouth is a little bit harsh, it but was disgusting. I mean, it goes right along
okay,
with how
hep
I.
Hep C mouth.
Yeah, hep C mouth.
Hep ABC mouth.
That's great. But I mean, it really goes right along with how I live my life.
Quarter mile at a time?
Well, obviously, I live my life a quarter mile at a time, but also the fact that you'll never turn away love. For somebody that is so willing to give love, I was more than willing to receive
if
it.
If love comes in the form of a face lick, I accept.
I mean, I feel like what's lacking in this world is affection, is love, is a bond between humankind and
between tongues and cheeks.
To have it be so willing from a woman that I had never met before, my gosh.
You know.
Damn.
There's a lot of talk about tongue and cheek, but it's your own tongue and your own cheek.
Ah, very true.
There's less about other people's tongues on your own cheek.
Yeah.
And that's what you got.
It was a very awkward experience.
Okay, so that's, I'm making that your shout out.
So we watched that happen, and it was awkward.
That was awesome.
And ever since, Tyler G has this strip of hepatitis and herpes on his face.
You gotta get that checked, man.
It's this red strip.
It's a blatant lie. This guy has control of the mic and he has freedom to say whatever he wants. It's foul and all. Deal with it as I can.
It's completely untrue. He has no herpes.
So my shout out is going to be to Round Bar tonight.
Getting licked in the face.
Getting licked in the face. Boom. All right, end the episode.
Does anyone know what Round Bar's called?
No, it doesn't matter.
It's not even Round Bar. It's Upstairs Bar.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Upstairs Bar, whatever. There are two Upstairs Bars, though.
There's Round Bar, which is upstairs, and then there's Upstairs Bar, which is
upstairs. We're significant enough that it would have its own name.
That's
already.
True.
Nobody
right.
knows. There's
it's
Nausea's,
right.
there's the other, the Kegs.
Kegs is great.
There's right. Upstairs Bar, and then there's Round
we'll
Bar.
We'll hash this out later.
Fuck
we'll follow up next week when we can. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed the episode. We watched Delicatessen, did top five favorite French movies. Definitely hit us up in the comments and let us know. We'll post a poll here soon. And, I don't know. What say you on our outro?
I say you he did.
I say you he did. All right, guys. And we're out.